So Christmas Jumper Day is a brilliant campaign that Save the Children are running to, I guess, just join in with all the festivities and get some money in for a good cause. You know, we say every jumper makes a difference, and we're all in the high spirits of Christmas as it's on the lead up, it's fast approaching. So it's basically rounding up the troops, getting your friends, getting family, the office, the schools all involved, wearing a woolly knit and donating as little as £2 to save children's lives.
And this does make all the difference. As you say, it is that time of the year, and maybe more people's minds turn to sort of charity and thinking of others. We should be doing that all around the year, you'd have thought, but I know we always turn Christmas to these sort of thoughts. Now, you have actually been out in Sierra Leone visiting teenage mothers. What sort of situation are you seeing out there? Because that is pretty dire in places.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just got back from Freetown last week, and I was on the ground in some of the slum, really impoverished communities, talking with the young girls as young as 14 that had been shunned from their communities because they had fallen pregnant accidentally at such a young age because of the lack of education around contraception and sexual health. And so we're essentially quite helpless and homeless and very vulnerable. And so I went to and visited a few of the programs that Save the Children run out there, including vocational workshops where some of the young people were learning how to sew, to the Second Chance program, which helps young people get back into education. And both of the girls that I was interviewing out there and listening to their stories had undergone similar things. One of them was 14 when she fell pregnant. She gave birth at 15 with no skills, with no income. She was not financially independent in any way. And with the help of Save the Children's program and being able to learn how to sew, she was able to make her own little clothes, sell them in the markets, and provide an income for her, for food to feed her child, but also to help with his medication, because the little Victor who I met, super cute little kid, he unfortunately was suffering from seizures. And so, although it was quite hard and harrowing to hear, she then was able to feel, extremely empowered with this new tool and skill that she was taught.
So it is just simple things like that, giving people some simple skills can make all that difference.
Absolutely. And it's access to education, and not only education in a sense of going back to school, but I went to visit one of the programs in one of the innovative universities in Sierra Leone where some of the students were developing an app thanks to Save the Children's support. And this app was being taken into the slum communities on iPads, and was essentially a game, a really fun game that a lot of young people would gravitate towards, but was also incorporating education within that around sexual health and contraception, and where would you go for that information, what does it look like, it talks about periods, and that again is another taboo topic, but something that every young girl is likely to come across at when they hit a certain age and have to figure out ways of managing that again.
And so is it very much a sort of three-pronged approach that Save the Children are taking here? Because you're talking about education there. We've also got, obviously, economic problems and also social issues as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's changing these stigmas and, incorporating the education, and without coming at it from, enforcing a westernised opinion. They are working with community leaders on the ground that understand the nuances of these communities and are able to then support in ways that are, and identify the ways that support is needed. So they work hand in hand really closely and, identify what the problem is and, kind of create these programs that are able to support communities to then go on and support themselves. So they're not reliant upon these charitable programs. They are then empowered to go on and, provide for themselves in a way that is independent.
Indeed, and obviously that's what these communities want to do. They don't want people giving them handouts or anything else. They want to just stand on their own 2 feet and get on with their lives. You were mentioning that app there, this sexual and reproductive health app. Does that does that work basically by people going in with them on things like iPads? Because I was just thinking, presumably in slum communities, a lot of the people there don't have access to the likes of iPads and iPhones and all the luxuries we take for granted.
Well, actually, you'd be surprised that, the increase of mobile phone usage and people having access to this stuff is on the rise, and especially for young groups and young people. And if they don't have a phone themselves, then it's highly likely they're going to know somebody that has a mobile phone or an iPad, whether it's their, you know, the family member or the community leaders. And so that's kind of their outreach program, is going in and allowing them to play and kind of get used to the apps through the tablets, that then, you know, they can then spread the word and tell other people to download that app. But yeah, I think, you know, it's, I do a lot of social media activism work online, and you'd be surprised that that can also translate into these other communities that you don't think that it wouldn't. But actually, it's a, in a way, it's a more effective way of encouraging information to be used, because it's not coming at it from a very studious, quite like, you know, you have to go, not everyone has access to the doctors and the more academic roles and figures. So it's a more accessible way of getting that information.
And you just mentioned, we'll just touch on that for a moment, because you do use your channels and social media presence to sort of speak out on the likes of women's rights and body positivity for young girls. That's been very much, I think, to the fore of late, and heavily tied in, ironically, with social media itself, I think, that people see all these images on Facebook and Snapchat and everything else and think they've got to be perfect, and if they're not, then there's something wrong.
Yeah, I think there's a massive sense of pressure now, because before you could go home from school and not know what's going on, you know, with your friendship groups and be able to have the luxury of disconnecting. But I also think with that, social media is a fantastic tool, because you're able to experience different people's lives and be able to communicate with people in places that you wasn't able to before. So although, you know, Save the Children's work has been going on for years, it's now brilliant that we're able to bring it onto a social platform. So I'm going to be adding swipe up links of how you guys can get involved with the Christmas Jumper Day campaign on there and share it with an audience that might not know about the fantastic work that Save the Children do. I'm also, you know, I created a vlog and some other brilliant content whilst I was in Sierra Leone. And so it's such a great opportunity to be able to then share it in that digital space, which is quite new and growing. We don't know how it's gonna, you know, evolve, but it's tapping into an audience in a different way that isn't the traditional TV advertisements. It's taking them a little bit deeper and a little bit closer to the cause and the people.
So if people do want to find out more about your work, the work of Save the Children, where are the best places to go and get some of this information you're talking about?
So for the Christmas Jumper Day campaign, you can go onto the christmasjumperday.org website. You can also go and find out lots of information on the Save the Children's website. And if you want to find out a little bit more about what I did whilst I was in Sierra Leone, you can come over to my Instagram, which is at Jada Cesar. And we're going to be posting up my Christmas jumper that I wore. So it'll be a little fun post later on today, as well as come and watch a vlog and see really what goes on the ground there, as well as some of the fantastic girls that I spoke to that are extremely empowering, and share some of their stories.
And finally, you preempted my final question there, that you mentioned Christmas sweater. You will be wearing a Christmas sweater in the run-up to Christmas, will you?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, who isn't? That's the question.